advance time. You know it is, because you're here with this in your ears, so what else could it be? Monty's not here again, though he's a busy boy. But I do have a special guest. My son again, Dylan. Hello, Dylan.
Hi.
Listen to that crowd. Wow. I didn't know you were bringing all your fans with you. Wow. So how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah? What's cracking?
Eh.
Eh?
Yeah.
Why eh?
I don't know.
We're recording this on Saturday. You glad it's a weekend?
Yeah.
Got any plans?
Not really.
We just discussed some plans.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Building solar space robot thing.
A solar space robot. Well, is it going to be fun?
Well, I'm hoping so.
Well, it's a good dad question to ask you.
Mm.
Is it fun doing little, like, building projects and stuff with me, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You sound slightly hesitant.
No.
No?
I don't.
You don't? Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
You can say that you aren't hesitant, but you certainly sounded hesitant.
Okay.
So, what's it like being a kid these days?
Kind of easy. You don't have to, like, worry about taxes and stuff.
That's true. Are taxes the main thing that you're worried about when you get into adulthood?
Not really.
What are you worried about when you get to adulthood?
Having to deal with kids and stuff.
Having to deal with kids? Whoa, what's wrong with kids?
Oh, no. Just annoying.
Yeah? Do you include yourself in that?
Yes.
Why? What do you do that's annoying?
Everything.
Nah, come on. Give me an example.
No.
Have long pauses?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Alright, well, what do you find annoying about other kids? Let's ask it that way.
Especially, like, small kids just can't get to sleep.
You can't get to sleep because there's small... Because of small kids. Or they can't get to sleep.
Yeah, the parents can't get to sleep. Because they've just gone...
But I asked what you were worried about. You're not a parent. Are you worried about being a parent, having a child, and then not sleeping?
It's not...
Well, this is right up Monty's alley.
Okay.
All right, well, what's good about being a kid?
I guess there's just less worries.
Yeah, okay. What about, like, fun, is it? What do you like to do for fun?
Play video games.
Yeah, what else?
That's pretty much it.
What about reading? You do a lot of reading?
Yeah, that's true.
We've been playing a lot of card games lately.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a raspberry on your cheeks. Is that permissible?
No.
Okay. So, later on, I'm going to be talking to the pants panel about creepy things that you've said.
What?
Like, creepy things that... We were talking about creepy things that our kids have said. What do you think of that?
I don't know.
Do you remember... What's the creepiest thing you think you've ever said?
I really can't remember.
Do you think you're a creepy kid?
Very much so.
Very much so?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you creepy if you can't remember any creepy stuff you've said?
That's just age.
Age?
Yeah, that's just, like, not remembering because long time.
Oh, because your brain's so old now. Is that what you mean?
No, it's just, like, because, I said those weird things, like, when I was, like, 3 or 4.
Okay. So. But you don't remember anything? Well, do you have creepy thoughts, do you think?
Depends.
Okay.
So
it seems an odd thing to be kind of ambivalent about.
Well, you know how, like, you have, like, on your... You know, like, you have notes in your phone about, like, really funny and weird things I've said?
Yeah.
So I guess you could just, like, look in there.
Well, I do. That's what we talk about later. But I'm interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, when I was like younger, I said like funny things, but because I didn't really like understand something, so I just said them.
Yeah.
Like, and they were like weird things to say.
Yeah.
So.
I don't say this later on. It's not really creepy, it's just bizarrely angry. Do you remember we were going for a drive once? And we went past a river.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's called the Georges River. And I said, hey, Dylan, do you know what river that is?
Yeah.
And you said, yeah, it's Georges River. And I was really surprised that you got it right. And I went, that's right. And you went, it's not funny. Rivers aren't funny.
Yeah.
You had a lot of anger, didn't you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. There was once we like went to a play. Do you remember when we like went to like a playground?
Mm.
And there was like there was this kid in like a fire truck, but like a sort of like just like play version of a fire truck.
Right.
Just like don't come near. He said like don't come near my fire truck or something, and I was just like, oh yeah, I'll just set myself on fire and then I'll be dead.
That's one-upmanship. If anything is, mate.
I said a few weird things back then.
Yeah.
Weirdly angry.
Thanks. Do you think are you still angry?
Not as much.
No.
Like sometimes I get a bit angry about things, but not when people just say normal things. Like
not
when
not enough.
Playing or something, I go. Ah.
Yeah, not enough to threaten to set yourself on fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well. Anything else to say?
Well. Can't really remember anything else.
Okay. Do you think you're creepy?
No, not really.
Do you think I'm creepy?
Sometimes.
Go on.
Make weird faces at me.
Do I? What if that's my normal face?
Well.
And pulling this face is me pulling a weird face.
I don't know.
Well, thanks for your time today, Dylan. Anything else you'd like to say to people before you go?
No.
Why not?
I just don't really have anything.
This is your chance to get a message out. What's something hot and fresh from the mind of Dylan?
Cancer is bad.
Thanks. Anything else?
No.
All right. See you later. All right. Thanks, pal.
Bye.
Bye. You might have heard him talking a little oddly there. He's got an expander put into his mouth because his mouth's too small. Teeth aren't going to fit when they come through. So it's a great deal of fun. Anyone out there who's had to put an expander on their kid, it's just lovely. Pick easy meals to cook too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just before I take you to the pants panel, I thought I might mention that if you enjoy this podcast, or more specifically the people in this podcast, then there's also another offering called Bit Weird But Fair Enough, I Guess, where I talk to Monty and the various pants panel people, as well as a few other people, and it's just about weird stuff in the world. So, yeah, if you are interested in hearing more from us on different topics, yeah, search for Bit Weird But Fair Enough, I Guess, in your podcast app. Now, let's get to the pants. Yes, I'm with the pants panel, and I'm Monty-less again, unfortunately. He's, a busy man, dadding and other things. Do we have any dadictotes, fellas, from your life? What's going on?
I had young Georgie's providing himself with, as he's becoming more confident. He's a funny kid. He stands up in front of... he's just now toilet trained, so he's doing pretty well, but... we were at on holidays, and he stood up at the end of the pool and dropped his dacks, and a la Bluey yells out to the pool, "Don't worry, everyone, I've got bum worms," and then just ran out of the pool to go to the toilet. And it was like an enclosed indoor pool space where there was about six or seven other people, and all of them were just kind of staring at us going, it's a Bluey thing, and kind of ran off after him. But it was a lovely parent. It was a proud parent moment, but also a slightly awkward and embarrassing one.
You hope Bluey's popular enough for some people to get it at least.
Well, hopefully, but no, I think he needs to pick his crowd, would be my feedback to him for next time. Pick your audience, Georgie.
Well, speaking of picking your crowd, topic we wanted to talk about this week, when your kid says creepy things, what's the creepiest thing your child has said? Do we all have a couple of these?
Not really. I asked my wife about it, and she goes, not really. Like, you know, we just kind of get the crying out in the middle of the night, which is a bit disturbing, but there's nothing overly kind of creepy. So I'm hanging out. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys come up with. Maybe it might jog the memory for something there, but yeah, we really couldn't think of anything which was overtly creepy or at least pod worthy. So I'll be a spectator for this one, I think, guys.
Okay. Colour commentary.
I'm in a similar boat, but...
Really?
Over the last...
You've got so many more to select. Well,
I know. I know, right?
Your kids are heaps creepy.
They are. But they've all got blonde hair. They just think creepy.
The children of the corn. Jesus.
But, so, my middle son, Lou, is currently going through quite a growth spurt. In the last 8 weeks, he's grown nearly 3 centimetres.
Oh, my Lord.
Now... that has manifested itself into him not sleeping very well.
Right.
And that has brought about a few... like, he's been having some nightmares and some bad thoughts, and he's finding it very difficult to actually get to sleep.
Yeah, and my son's the same, who's pretty, you know, a month or two age difference.
Mm. Yeah. Really struggling to get to sleep and having these bad thoughts, and... it's like I'm fraidy cat at the best of times, but when your son comes out and says to you, "I'm afraid that someone's going to walk into my room and steal my teddies."
Well, so am I now.
Yeah, that's right. What about my teddies? But it's like that's...
In this scenario of yours, which direction would they be coming from?
Don't you worry, you just tell me all about it. Well, it sounds silly, I know, but I think it might be the boogeyman. The boogeyman!
Yeah.
So that's been pretty creepy. Like, just, and like he is also he'll come in at, midnight, 1 o'clock, and just be the, like, looking at you. From the side
standing
of the bed.
Next to the bed, not saying anything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty creepy. Yeah.
That's worst. Yeah, and it's because afterwards, they're reluctant to wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not,
not
what runs through your head.
Not reluctant to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah.
It's not what runs through your head.
Well, I took a swipe at my child in my sleep who woke me up by tickling me once, and I just lashed, and lashed my arm out, and it was like felt the breeze go right past their face. That would have been...
Oh.
Yeah. But I was like, there are other ways to do that. I've had them...
Were you asleep?
Yeah. No, I was completely asleep. Yeah, yeah. And then that's how I got woken up. And I was like, oh, something's there. And moved my hand and just missed their face. But I've had both my kids at random times wake me up by just slapping me in the face. So they've obviously said, "Dad," and I haven't moved, and then just...
Okay. Well, the topic's gone from creepy things your kid says to jerky ways they they wake you
assault.
Up.
Yeah, jerky they ways wake they up. Wake you up.
I was going to say, I've got plenty on jerky ways my kids have woken me up.
I had a couple. Like my eldest when she was little was, really big on science and medicine and the human body and really getting into stuff. Like she wanted to watch... operations Like, can we watch someone's appendix being taken out on YouTube and things like that? Well, she would. She randomly just said to me one day, she was just looking at me, and I was like, what are you looking at? And she was like, I'm just looking at your stomach. If I take your insides out of your stomach, would that hurt? And I was like, yes, that would hurt. But can I take them out and then put them back? I was like, no. She was like, I don't know. Maybe I think I could. God. I was like, Jesus, what are you talking about?
Well, points for self-confidence, I suppose, but yeah.
Yeah, she was very confident. She watched YouTube. She could take out an appendix.
I was going to say, know the limitations.
Yeah, that's right.
I can do that.
Hey, she's not a dad. She's not a dad. She is not bound by the by the dad commandment.
But Scotty Cam makes it look so easy.
Vaccination experts who found all the knowledge they need on YouTube.
That's right. That's exactly right. But my youngest, I think it was creepy for about 2 seconds before I realised what she was saying. But we went to like a small country town and she stopped and I said, what are you doing? She just turned around and she said, I'm going to bury you here. And it's like, what?
You win.
But she was standing like there was like a cemetery, like a really old small cemetery this like country lane. But I didn't know until she said it. Like I said, it was like 2 seconds of being absolutely terrified. But then I was like, what do you mean?
So, she
was like,
so the sentiment.
Yeah, the sentiment was, this is a lovely cemetery to bury my family in. But that's how she said it. I'm going to bury you here.
So you weren't in a bakery in on the south coast somewhere?
No.
Although that would be pretty awesome if someone said
that.
No, so that was fairly creepy.
Okay. Yeah, look. Dylan's in a bit of a similar boat with some of the kind of body medical stuff. Owen always just said weird things rather than creepy things, but Dylan was really good for a creepy quote, such as, this is probably between the ages of 3 and 6, if I ever see someone with their head cracked open, I'll look at their brains. That's a good one.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
He kept asking where our rabbits were buried.
Oh.
And kind of wouldn't stop asking until he eventually owned up that he wanted to see what their skeletons looked like.
Right.
There was a weird / creepy quote where he was kind of, playing doctor, and he said, I'm a doctor, I'll fix you. And I said, what's wrong with me? And he said, there's a problem with your nipples. And I said, all right, well, how are you going to fix that? He said, I'm going to put the bones back in them.
Oh, the nipple bones.
Oh, no.
The long-lost nipple bones.
Well, I didn't know all these years that was my problem, but obviously... It was. I'd been deboned at an early age, I guess.
You unasked. You'd never asked for it. That was just a thing that your family did to you.
Same as circumcision.
Yeah, remove the bone from your nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deboning.
No consent.
Wow.
No consent.
But the worst one, and this is the one that Mish and I liked the best, and some of our friends, was that when he was probably between 3 and 4, he would talk about Nothing Day. And Nothing Day was coming, and it was the last of all the days.
Oh, Jesus.
There will be nothing, and everyone will float in the air, were his exact words. He brought that up.
That's proper creepy. That was the ones. That's like one of the ones from a Ranker list or something. Like, that's what I was trying to wrangle out of Tony. Was there anything that happened? But yeah, that's a cracker. Jeez, Nothing Day.
But he would bring it
was
up.
Was it prefaced by Something Day or
no? Well, everything is Something Day.
Everything.
Any other day is Something Day until you get to Nothing Day.
Well, I mean,
that's a good song. I reckon there's a song in that.
Nothing Day just floating around in the sky, like Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, you should have taken him to church.
Well, yeah. Well, probably skin would start boiling or something. I don't know. But he brought it up more than once, so obviously it was preying on his mind regularly. So yeah, they're the ones that leapt to mind immediately for creepiness. So yes,
maybe tell Louis
see
about
if anyone can beat Nothing Day.
Yeah, tell Louis about Nothing Day before he's going to bed. We go and see how that goes. See how that goes for him.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about
all your stuffed toys will be coming up in the air.
I don't know about your kids, but I don't know. I can't remember which child. It may have happened to both. But when they're really young, and they're unwell. I remember, it might have been Noelle, like having a fever and having night terrors and then continuing the night terrors when her eyes were open. Like, so you like go and wake her up and she's looking at something and still screaming about it and still really distressed and looking like when you're holding a child and they're looking over your shoulder and just like screaming.
Well, I was going to say,
you're like, that is not cool.
Is it creepier that they're looking at something random in the room or you? Which is creepier?
I prefer they're looking at me, if I'm honest, because if they're looking at something else, then I have to figure, am I in a movie where my child can see things that I can't? I don't want to be in that movie.
So many movies, children see things adults don't, so there must be something to it.
I think it's just the fact that children are inherently creepy.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, they're the greatest foil for horror. Like, you know, there's nothing creepier than a child.
No.
Mm.
No.
Like, dolls, everything around children are inherently creepy.
Yeah. When they're still, when children are very still.
Man, that's I was having a lovely time until this bloody conversation started.
Yeah, Brady Cat Wiggins, how are you going?
Oh, I'm in a room by myself.
All right, I'm going
to... You're going to go and wake Louie up tonight and say, I'm having some very scary thoughts, Lou.
Louie, are you having trouble sleeping? Oh, I'll just come and sit with you.
No, you're not even going to say anything. You're just going to stand in the dark next to his bed until he wakes up. That's the way it's done.
Slap him.
Look, I'll change the subject into something that will hopefully relax and make you feel better. Matt, you suggested we chat about some hobbies we have, some meditative hobbies.
Yeah.
What do we do? What do we all do to relax that's maybe unique? Are you looking for something that's maybe unique to each of us?
Yeah. Oddly specific or, you know, quite unique to you. The reason why it comes up is I've got this weird book that someone gave me, which is like 2,500 questions. And at work, what we do is every day someone's will ask a question and then we go around the group. And then what tends to happen is people then ask other people at work and it spreads out and you get some really weird answers. But that was the question, was like, what are your meditative hobbies?
And right. Now, is this the same book that you sometimes use for questions in your Chattering Classes podcast?
That is 100% correct. Yes, it's the same one.
Right.
It's a fantastic book. It's a fantastic podcast too. Don't get me wrong.
Please, don't misunderstand us in any way. It's a great show.
Not at all. But the question, about meditative hobbies... prompted this response from one of the teachers. Now, and I think I challenge you to, I would pay you $1,000 if you could guess what had just arrived in the mail for him to help with his meditative hobby, and no one got close. And this is what arrived. He said, well, I'm very excited because a miniature loom that is Soviet-made in 1952 arrived from the Ukraine today. So I'm very excited to go home and mend a bunch of my socks over the weekend.
On a miniature loom.
Wow.
That's very obscure.
Isn't that the
Ukrainian miniature loom?
Yeah. A Soviet loom from 1952 sent from the Ukraine.
How does that even enter your mind, let alone... enter your mind and feel like a good idea?
Yeah, like how does it come across any field of I'll have to do some research. Was he looking up miniature looms? Was he seeking it out? I don't understand.
Yeah,
what could he have misspelt that he's put into Google and looms has come up
and he's become a loom head,
a miniature loon?
Yeah.
This
one's a crazy miniature person to turn up and just like, man, I got my miniature loom, not my miniature loon.
So, I mean...
Now, okay, so, miniature.
Okay.
I honestly thought you were going to crack on with your meditative.
Yeah,
hobby,
me
then.
Too. But no. Okay. Yep. Wait, go on. We go.
Let's define miniature.
How small? Let me see.
So a standard loom would be. Like, it's quite a, it's quite a big piece
it's
of equipment,
a couple of
meters, right?
By a couple of metres, isn't it? Isn't like it's that, a wouldn't big that be a standard bit of loom?
Yeah.
Like, a loom is a big bit of gear. Now, what is a miniature loom, and how big is a miniature loom?
So,
can I have some dimensions?
Okay, so you're looking at something that's, I'm guessing, if you want dimensions, let's say it's probably about 4 inches high, and it's probably like, I don't know, 6 by 10. In length. So, yeah. Okay.
That is miniature.
Yeah. That is miniature. Yeah, but it's for socks, so...
Yeah, so... You
like, how big do you want it?
It's a Demendy sock.
How much does one of these things cost? I don't want it. I don't want it.
I don't...
I'm just going to buy a new pair of socks.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he'd obviously...
It's knowing your limitations right there.
He'd obviously stored his socks because he said, this weekend I'm going to mend my socks. So, I don't know if he had a previous... miniature loom that had broken.
Man, I've got to buy another one.
Yeah, so then he had to go and buy another miniature loom, I guess. Mm. But as far as I know, they're fairly... Like, you can buy them fairly easily, but not a friggin'... So I don't know if he had many looms. Maybe he's a loom connoisseur. But a Ukrainian one from, like, the 50s.
Eastern Block Looms.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the name of the site, Wigger? Have you already researched
it? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's the name of the title of the podcast, I know that much. But, all right. Okay, well, that's enough of that bloke's hobbies, but...
I know your meditative hobbies or miniature enthusiasm won't be as esoteric as that, but is there anything that you have as a hobby that's meditative?
Well, I think that I've definitely, and I'm really trying to avoid the social media scroll is my big focus at the moment, is to try and get away from that as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so I've been getting stuck into the kids' Lego a bit at night with a glass of scotch and turn on records and sit there and fart ass around with some Lego for a bit just to keep myself occupied. So nice. I'm kind of... It's really, really good fun. Like, I'm absolutely loving it, and I can't wait until they get into Technic and I'm looking at what I'm going to buy them for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I
hope all that Lego's in a big bag that you had to swish around till all hours of the morning.
That's exactly right.
So I know there's a Lego, like, Lego obviously is being made that's more adult-based. So I know you can get, like, Lego kits that are of, like, the Andy Warhol paintings. That are
Lego kit. The paintings are a big one at the moment. Yeah. There's a few of those kicking around. But I'm loving just hanging out with the old school stuff, and even, like, you know, building some of the instruction kits are really good. And it's a nice way of sitting down and spending a couple of hours without kind of having to think about too much, or being able to think about stuff without being too deeply engaged with anything else and letting the music wash over you. I think that's a nice way. I'm really enjoying it. Mm. So that's my little tidbit. Mm. Not very esoteric, I'm well aware, but yeah.
Very nice. How about you, Wigger?
That's good. Like, that's... So Ellis, as soon as you said that, in regards to the social media scroll, it actually hit a nerve with me, because that is something that I am fighting against at the moment.
Mm.
But what I have found to be quite meditative, and it's apart from... I've answered this question at a work function about a week ago, and I said mowing the lawn, and I got a response back from people at work saying, well, yeah, I can see how that is, but it's not really what we're looking for. And
right.
And, but it's the first thing I thought about when this question was posed, and I feel like it's something, because I put my headphones in and I can just have something in the background that I may or may not necessarily be listening to, but I can just shut off from everything that's outside. And because I have a way in which I mow the lawn, and I do it exactly the same way every time, I can switch off and just go and be alone in my own thoughts when I'm mowing the lawn. And I don't think there's anything else in my life currently that I am doing that has that same function to it.
Cleaning the pool?
And they tend to be one and the same. So a day that I'm mowing the lawn, the job after that would tend to be cleaning the pool.
Because it's got all grass clippings in it, probably.
Exactly. Fucking whippersnipper. So those two jobs, and, you know, quote unquote jobs, but I don't see them as that. I look forward to actually doing those jobs because they are, they are quite meditative to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Zen lawn mowing has always been a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can feel yourself zoning out while that's happening. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I can feel myself sort of relaxing in a way.
Yeah,
like, I'm not worried about anything else. I'm just sort of focused in on that one thing and actually, you know.
Yeah.
Just mowing the lawn or just getting the spiders out of the pool or, you know, checking the levels.
Checking your levels.
So yeah. I do enjoy that. And sometimes I'll just go out to the pool, I won't tell anyone, and just sort of go out to the pool and just get the net and stand at one end of the pool with my feet in the pool and just sort of scoop some stuff up for 20 minutes just because it's a nice way to remove yourself from whatever's going on within the household or,
That's a euphemism for everyone leaving the fuck alone.
Yeah.
That's right. For a little while.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Look, I think previously I might have said playing the guitar, but I find it frustrating now because, I don't play it enough to get any kind of, you know, momentum going in terms of staying good at it or staying, you know, competent at it. So that's just turned into a frustration. So these days it is walking to a certain point in my suburb where I can see really far into the distance west and then really far into the distance east. And that has a very calming effect on me. As does Civilization 5, which is a strategy game which I have a constant battle to not eat up too much of my time with.
Where, how long have you been playing that, Stu?
6 years.
Wow.
Okay, is it
supplement different information, games, please?
Yeah, like, is it no. So is it something that you can play for a month and then you start another game? Is it something you play for 20 minutes and you start another game, or is it
It's a strategy game where you can start from ancient times and build your empire up until, the modern day and into the future. And you can choose...
Until the warts get you.
Until your warts become sort of
sentient?
Mutate out of the blister.
Or you realise you're building it on a wart, which has become a civilization.
So,
until some arsehole comes along with these
huge tracts of land.
Yeah. But, I find myself like, yeah, so you can pick any kind of civilization, any empire kind of from history and play as them moving through time, essentially building up your empire. So for whatever reason, I just find this extremely soothing, and I, much like, you know, when you're doing the lawns and so on, I can feel my brain decompressing a bit.
Yeah.
That's
really interesting, Buckland. And I'm not, absolutely not criticizing, because I used to do it too, but I've always kind of, I suppose there's that rejection of technology thing going on at the moment. And so it's something that I wouldn't have considered, but I completely agree. Like, you know, I used to play a similar kind of, as you say, building a civilization kind of game, like similar to Sims and that kind of stuff. Or SimCity, sorry, not Sims, but it's kind of, it has that place of just kind of the slowly building. It's almost, I suppose it's kind of, it's on par with kind of your model train building and things like that, but in the big sandbox sense. So,
you know, no two games are the same because you can, obviously it's such a long drawn out game that you can do, that there are small things you do that have indirect consequences later on, etc. But really, I mean, like I say, guitar, not relaxing anymore. Reading, I have to really be in the right mood to read these days, I find, because I can't get my brain to stop worrying about some other things enough to be focusing on what's happening in the story in front of me, I find, sometimes. Even TV shows, like, I find myself, like, it's got to be really good or I just don't have the patience for it anymore.
Oh, am I allowed to jump in? Because I've been, and I want to give a plug for, this has kind of become my background meditation while I'm doing other things. So while I'm doing, like, uni work or school work or whatever it might be, having on Alone. Have you watched any of that yet?
No, Alone.
No.
So Alone is, it's a pretty dadly show, so I'm putting it out there as...
Sounds like all we ever wanted is to be alone.
This is exactly... Well, is it
someone cleaning the pool for 10 hours?
Is it about going out and playing around a golf by yourself?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Basically, they dump these people in them. It's a reality TV, and I'm not a reality TV fan at all, like, despite Buckland's protestations that we should all be watching The Bachelor or Bachelorette, whatever's going on Channel 10 at the moment,
which I'm sure
are all quality shows.
I'm past that. But it's fine.
But this is a reality TV, and it's done pretty legit. So basically, they get dumped off with some camera gear and 10 essential survival items of their choice in the middle of nowhere. So either on the outer edge of Vancouver Island in, so, northern Canada. There's one where they go to Great Slave Lake, which is up in the Arctic Circle, or down in Patagonia is another one. So there's 10 people and they dump them there, and basically they've got to survive for as long as possible. So they've got like a satellite phone where they call and tap out when they've had enough. But otherwise, they've just... And these people, like... And it's a really interesting psychological study in the fact that you kind of... You're seeing the change in the people, but also the change in yourself watching it, because you're very well aware of it being kind of a reality TV show at first. But then the fact that these people are actually destroying their bodies, essentially, going through this process. And it's... And the prize is pretty good. Like, is it $500,000 for the first couple of series, and then it goes up to $1 million after that. So the stakes are fairly reasonable. But, yeah, it's a good dad show to be watching, because there's lots of, you know, building stuff, lots of fishing, a bit of hunting, a bit of, you know, all those kind of
did you say where we could find
that? Type things. It's available on SBS to stream at the moment, so on SBS On Demand. All the episodes are free there. So, yeah, I started with the latest season, which was season 7 when I was on telly, and just kind of randomly flicking through and found it, and I was like, oh, this is all right. And then I've just become absolutely hooked. All the other previous seasons are all on there as well. So it's a nice one to sit there. You don't have to watch every single second of it. And it is kind of, and the scenery is just spectacular in the places where these people are. Like, it is just stunning, but so hostile and formidable. Like, it's a really, as I say, it's an interesting way to look at yourself as well as the people, the way they develop. If
someone, if a dad expert on the Pants panel tells me a show is dadly, I'm going to go and look at it.
It's pretty dadly. There's lots of good dad moments in there.
Now, Matt, you haven't given us your meditative hobby.
Mine's fairly bland. When you were talking about reading, Buckland, and how, you know, you can't focus on reading, when the... Our lockdown started, I literally forced myself to read, and it really took some, like, willpower to, like, put the phone down and focus on reading. And then I found all of a sudden that, like, I can't stop reading. So that's what good. I do. And one of the teachers at school was like, can you write down all of the books you're reading? And let me know, and, like, write reviews on them, so then I know what to read. And I don't know how many weeks. It's been 2 months for us in lockdown, and I think I'm on book 14 or something ridiculous like that.
Oh, that's great.
I can't stop that's it. Awesome. And it really, I think, became, like, I got to a point where I literally, like, had to sort of tell myself, no, you have to put the phone down. You have to read. You have to. Yep. And it was challenging. Like, even though I was like, oh, this book's pretty good, but the first step to do it was like, oh, should I check my phone? What else is happening? And then eventually I just said, oh, this is way better than being on my phone, and now I'm just reading. And now I'm like, like, I'm going to get the police are going to get called on me because I'm pretending like I'm a 20-year-old now. All the YouTube I look at are all, it's all BookTube. It's like people in their 20s reviewing books, and I just watch them and then I read the books they recommend. It's very weird.
All right. New illegal pastime.
Yeah. Sorry, why are you going to get arrested?
Why am I arrested? Just because I'm not a 20-year-old. I'm like, I don't know. Okay. It's just weird. Right. Like my search history or my viewing history on YouTube, the algorithm would... The people running the algorithm are like, what the fuck's this guy doing? He watched cricket for like 25 years straight and now he's like, what's going on?
Now he's watching 20-year-olds reviewing now, books.
Yeah, 20-year-olds talk about, here is how to be a girl boss and what is a fall reading, like, ideas to... It's just weird.
Like, I'm jealous. I should point out, like, I haven't always been like that. It's just, for some reason, I'm in a non-reading rut.
But that's standard for me, too. Like, I go through long periods of no reading. But this is the longest...
Say, you just go through this rabbit, like this place where you just absolutely ravenous for books.
Yeah, this is the long. This is the longest, most intense, reading phase I've been through, probably.
Yeah. John Doyle's book is starting to pull me out of that at the moment,
too. Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, Roy from Roy and HG. Bless him. It's a good book.
Yeah, very good. I didn't...
Well, we've got 2 minutes on the clock. I might just... give a bit of a little update. Put a little social post out earlier, referring back to my story about when I asked you guys, "Dad or Dickhead?" It's a new segment on Dad Pants. Was I being a dad or was I being a dickhead when I made a sarcastic comment to a lady in a bakery? So I asked that on social media. We had some responses. It's 50-50. It's 50% one way dad and dickhead. Unfortunately, there are only two respondents, one of which being Wigo and one of which being me. So
okay.
I said it was dickhead behavior. Wigo was more generous, said it was dad behavior. So
they mutually exclusive, I suppose, is the question.
No, I suppose not. I could have had a third category there, I suppose. Yeah.
Why not have both?
The old Venn diagram.
I'm going to leave you very quickly, fellas. I'm going to leave you with a dad fact. Fact.
Yeah.
And the dad fact is as follows. The father with the most children ever is most likely Ismail ibn Sharif, a sultan who fathered 888 children with hundreds of wives and concubines in the late 17th century. Can you imagine how many key rings he'd be getting for Father's Day? Holy shit.
His mug cupboard would overflow.
His mug cupboard runneth over.
May your mug cupboard overflow like that of whatever that guy's name is.
Yep. I was going to say, that's not how you spell my name.
All
right. Just quickly, update.
Yep.
Coffee machine's up and running.
Beautiful.
Hey.
Happy anniversary. How's your face coffee looking?
I got a bloody pimple, don't I?
How's the lawn?
Lawn good. Lawn good. Lawn
swale.
Lawn good. Bad face. Oh.
Bad face.
Swale.
Swale.
And that's where the meeting cut out. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Please give us a rate and review. Get on Apple, give us a rate. It'll be ever such fun.
Teachers. Going to be a teacher shortage in 5 years. There's only one comment so far, so I'll come back to that one, Buckland, and let you know what teachers are saying about why there's a teacher shortage. Whew. Even though we're heroes. Why doesn't anyone want to be a hero? Doesn't make any sense. If we're all heroes... Oh, dear. I should just scroll through and read. This is a quality old person. I won't tell you who the old person was, but has commented on a website, a page called Kate Middleton News. Doesn't that sound... Do I dare click on that? What Queen Elizabeth eats in a day is pretty wild. Now that's some clickbait for you. 15 strict food habits Queen Elizabeth follows every day. I'm going in because you're going to hear this a bit later. So let's find out what are the 15 strict food habits Queen Elizabeth follows every day. Preambles just go on forever. The Queen has 4 meals each day. That's all right. I mean, breakfast, lunch, afternoon tea and dinner. Shock horror. She doesn't always eat everything on her plate at every meal. She just eats a bit of what's served. This is fantastic. She offers off a menu. That's how she orders. That's great. I'm just going to get weird articles now, aren't I? You ready? Ready? You know what she has for breakfast? You ready? Cereal. Special K. Oh my God. Buckingham Palace's extraordinary secrets revealed. She has Special K. Her food, oh my God, stores her food she doesn't eat in Tupperware. They're just like us, Buckland. She starts drinking before lunch. She has 4 daily cocktails. That's all right. Oh, she has a gin on the rocks with a slice of lemon. That's before lunch. Good times, Queen. And she keeps drinking all day. Well, she has 4. Good on her. Lunch is healthy. Whew, this is an article. Afternoon tea is a meal, not a drink. I mean, this is just stunning. Cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off. This is all like stunning. She has tea no matter where she is in the world, because tea is hard to find around the world. Have you noticed? This is just the best thing. And she loves chocolate. Come on in, Justine. That's all right. I'm reading an article about what the Queen eats. Oh. An old person posted on Facebook. It's very exciting.
Who was that old person?
I won't say it because I'm recording.
Because what?
I won't say it because it's still recording. Oh, fantastic. She gets a drink on. I mean, really what it's trying to do is say she's just like us, Justine. Oh, she likes chocolate. She puts food in Tupperware containers. She has a roast on a Sunday.
Normal.
Normal. Normal. In touch with the people. Well, she's particular about seasonal items. Ugh. And there are some foods she never eats. It doesn't say... doesn't eat garlic. And doesn't eat shellfish, so she doesn't get food poisoning. So there you go. I'm glad I clicked on that. That was well worth your time, Buckland. Also, do I ask you about the Eric Idle Chevy Chase meeting in European Vacation? Do we do that on the podcast, or I don't really know. Just going to type like Ellis for a sec.
Swale update. You'll have to wait for the swale update.